Hello, listeners. Looking for more tales to entertain with esoteric delight and supernatural suspense? I would encourage you to check out Peculiar Stories. Join Indiana Beckett as she takes you on a walk around her particular side of the neighborhood in all things strange and unusual. You may find her on Anchor Podcasts or anywhere that your podcast can be found. The changing of the guard has begun, and the people are arising in a celebration. But it is not a battle over. Though, be it long fought, it is far from over. It is not the end of the year. It is not the time for a new man to sit on the throne. There is still a great unrest in the nation. There is still so much pain, so much suffering and conflict. Even now, people stand and scream for civil war. They clamor to weapons and demand violence. Violence is not the answer. Bloodshed is not the answer. Change is upon us. We must accept it gracefully. Because in the end, it is up to us, not the kings of the world, not the wealthy, not the affluent, not the religious, pious, or divine. It is upon us, the common, simple men and women of this country, to see what is coming, to perceive change, and to perceive difference, to accept change as a fact of life. To accept that a change will occur, and to find the parts of this change that make the world a better place for us, to keep them, to carry them, and to nurture them into bigger, greater things, and to understand that the things that don't work are ephemeral. It is a very short time before change happens again. None of this is damning, and none of this is the end of the world, and yet we stand on a call for blood over stupid egos, the damaged minds of rich, feeble old men. Albert Einstein said, "It is not known how World War III will be fought, but World War IV shall be waged with sticks and stones." We are hair's width from mutual annihilation. And we need to step back before we do something we all regret. These are dark times. And these stories come from very dark places. Good evening, listeners. My name is Jonas Armitage, and you're listening to Stories from Dark Places. On tonight's show, we're going to be listening to a story called The Cats of Ulthar by H.P. Lovecraft. A delightful tale about how wonderful cats are, and how absolutely fucked you are if you do them wrong. Back in the time, they were considered objects of witchcraft, and tempting them in a negative way was tempting fate. Nowadays, it's really any animal. If anyone thinks you're even slightly rude to one, they'll come upon you with a fiery vengeance that would make the old times god of the book of Genesis concerned that you might be going a little far. Not that I can't say anything. We have a cat in the studio, and I absolutely love him. And if anyone did anything wrong, or if anything happened to him, I would be at the front of the line with a torch and a pitchfork. We'll get to our story in just a moment, but first a message from our sponsors. It is said that in Ulthar, which lies beyond the river Skye, no man may kill a cat. And this I can verily believe, as I gaze upon him who sitteth purring before the fire. For the cat is cryptic, and close to strange things which men cannot see. He is the soul of antique Egyptus, and bearer of tales from forgotten cities in Merrow and Ophir. He is the kin of the jungle lords, and heir to the secrets of hoary and sinister Africa. The Sphinx is his cousin, and he speaks her language, but he is more ancient than the Sphinx, and remembers that which she has forgotten. In Ulthar, before ever the Burgess forbade the killing of cats, there dwelt an old cotter and his wife, who delighted to trap and slay the cats of their neighbors. Why they did this I know not, save that many hate the voice of the cat in the night, and take it ill that cats should run stealthily about yards and gardens at twilight. But whatever the reason, this old man and woman took pleasure in trapping and slaying every cat which came near their hovel. And for some of the sound heard after dark, many villagers fancied that the manner of slaying was exceedingly peculiar. But the villagers did not discuss such things with the old man and his wife because of the habitual expression on their withered faces of the two, and because their cottage was so small and so darkly hidden under spreading oaks at the back of a neglected yard. In truth, much as the owners of cats hated these odd folk, they feared them more, and instead of berating them as brutal assassins, merely took care that no cherished pet or mouser should stray toward the remote hovel under the dark trees. When through some unavoidable oversight a cat was missed, and sound heard after dark, the loser would lament impolitely, or console himself by thanking fate that it was not one of his children who had thus vanished. For the people of Ulthar were simple, and knew not whence it is all cats first came. One day a caravan of strange wanderers from the south entered the narrow cobbled streets of Ulthar. Dark wanderers they were, and unlike the other roving folk who passed through the village twice every year. In the marketplace they told fortunes for silver, and bought gay beads from the merchants. What was the land of these wanderers none could tell, but it was seen that they were given to strange prayers, and that they had painted on the sides of their wagons strange figures with human bodies and the heads of cats, hawks, rams, and lions. And the leader of the caravan wore a headdress with two horns and a curious disc betwixt them. There was in this singular caravan a little boy with no father or mother, but only a tiny black kitten to cherish. The plague had not been kind to him, yet had left him this small, furry thing to mitigate his sorrow. And when one is very young, one can find great relief in the lively antics of a black kitten. So the boy, who the dark people called Menace, smiled more often than he wept, as he sat playing with his graceful kitten on the steps of an oddly painted wagon. On the third morning of the wanderer's stay in Ulthar, Menace could not find his kitten, and as he sobbed aloud in the marketplace, certain villagers told him of the old man and his wife, and of sounds heard in the night. And when he heard these things, he sobbing gave place to meditation, and finally to prayer. He stretched out his arms towards the sun and prayed in a tongue no villager could understand, though indeed the villagers did not try very hard to understand, since their attention was mostly taken up by the sky and the odd shapes the clouds were assuming. It was very peculiar, but as the little boy uttered his petition, there seemed to form overhead the shadowy, nebulous figures of exotic things, of hybrid creatures crowned with horn-flanked discs. Nature is full of such illusions to impress the imaginative. That night, the wanderers left Ulthar and were never seen again, and the householders were troubled when they noticed that in all the village there was not a cat to be found. From each hearth, the familiar cat had vanished, cats large and small, black, gray, striped, yellow, and white. Old Crannon, the burgomaster, swore that the dark folk had taken the cats away in revenge for the killing of Menace's kitten, and cursed the caravan and the little boy. But Nith, the lean notary, declared that the old cotter and his wife were more likely the persons to suspect, for their hatred of cats was notorious and increasingly bold. Still, no one durst complain to the sinister couple, even when little Atal, the innkeeper's son, vowed that he had at twilight seen all the cats of Ulthar in that accursed yard under the trees, pacing slowly and solemnly in a circle around the cottage, two abreast, as if in performance of some unheard-of rite of beasts. The villagers did not know how much to believe from so small a boy, and though they feared that the evil pair had charmed the cats to their death, they preferred not to chide the old cotter till they met him outside his dark and repellent yard. So Ulthar went to sleep in vain anger, And when the people awakened at dawn, behold, every cat was back at his accustomed hearth. Large and small, black, gray, striped, yellow and white, none was missing. Very sleek and fat did the cats appear, and sonorous with purring content. The citizens talked with one another of the affair, and marveled not a little. Old Crannon again insisted that it was the dark folk who had taken them, since cats did not return alive from the cottage of the ancient man and his wife. But all agreed on one thing, that the refusal of all cats to eat their portions of meat or drink their saucers of milk was exceedingly curious. And if for 2 whole days the sleek, lazy cats of Ulthar would touch no food, but only doze by the fire or in the sun. It was fully a week before the villagers noticed that no lights were appearing at dusk in the windows of the cottage under the trees. Then the lean Nith remarked that no one had seen the old man or his wife since the night the cats were away. In another week, the burgomaster decided to overcome his fears and call at the strangely silent dwelling as a matter of duty, though in so doing he was careful to take with him Shang the blacksmith and Thul the cutter of stone as witnesses. And when they broke down the frail door, they found only this: 2 cleanly picked human skeletons on the earthen floor, and a number of singular beetles crawling in the shadowy corners. There was subsequently much talk among the burgesses of Ulthar. Zath, the coroner, disputed at length with Nith, the lean notary, and Crannon and Shang and Thul were overwhelmed with questions. Even Little Atal, the innkeeper's son, was closely questioned and given a sweetmeat as reward. They talked of the old cotter and his wife, of the caravan of dark wanderers, of Small Menace and his black kitten, of the prayers of Menace, and of the sky during the prayers, of the doings of the cats on the night the caravan left, and of what was later found in the cottage under the dark trees in the repellent yard. And in the end, the burgesses passed that remarkable law which is told of to traders in Hathig and discussed by travelers in Nir, namely, that in Ulthar, no man may kill a cat.
Soul crystals not pure enough? Spirit rain journals too smeared? Holy water looking murky? Then come to Verboten Knickknacks and Collectibles, home of the largest collection of arcane artifacts, cursed objects, and unearthly articles since the Pines Cryptid Museum disappeared with the rest of Ashley, Kansas. Hi, this is Kai the Intern. I wanted to tell you that Verboten Knickknacks and Collectibles has everything you could ever want. Whether you're a disciple of the Mad Arab himself, or a curious teenager looking to summon your first Shoggoth. I just bought a new corpse candle last week and it still looks new. You'd never know I'd summoned the dead twice this week already. Verboten Knickknacks and Collectibles, where the only thing you can't find is a bloated price tag.
What a couple of bastards. I mean, just, I don't have anything else to say about it. They're just monsters, plain and simple. I love old stories, just like I love movies that don't rely on inundating you with violence and special effects. I like the idea that a story can hint at it, and then later on you can be surprised. Oh! When the event happens. But we don't have to walk you through every step of it. I love horror movies, specifically the ones that build a sense of dread in you over time. The things that tease and taunt you, that bring it out slowly, that stretch it out and don't have to throw the absolute gory detail of everything directly into your face. Nowadays, it's far too important for directors to throw a pair of tits and a knife stabbing through someone's nipple ring onto the screen in order to make you aware, oops, someone's dying, reet, reet, reet. I don't think that's necessary all the time. I don't know if that's a facet of our generation and the prevalence of ADHD expanding, because it certainly seems more prevalent than it used to be. I don't know if they feel that they have to make everything much more explosive and graphic to keep your attention. But I think it's a sign of shoddy writing, sometimes. I think that sometimes you should be able to convey a message with something simple, delicate. to have cats come back. Fat bellies, happy purrs, and then a week later go, "Oh, look, there's a corpse." We didn't need 5 minutes of screaming as a cat chewed its way in through someone's anus and out through their stomach, or enacted the chest-bursting scene from Ridley Scott's movie Alien, which was a fantastic movie, to be fair, but... perhaps a sign that graphic was becoming the new token in cinema. Anyway, what do you think? What's your favorite horror movie? Tell us about it. You can find us on Twitter at StoriesFromDAR1, or email us at storiesfromdarkplaces@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. We love hearing from all of you, all of our listeners, our viewers, our subscribers, and from people who stumble upon us not knowing what they're getting into, but are pleasantly surprised. Anyway, that's all the time we have for now. Join us next week when we bring in another tale to entertain. Good night, listeners. Oh, and the next time you peer into the dark and see those eyes reflected back at you in the dim lights of the street, remember, there's nothing to be afraid of. After all, some of the best things only happen in the dark.
Stories from Dark Places was recorded before an imaginary studio audience. All stories performed on this podcast have express written consent from the original author, Jonas Armitage, his studio manager, and the entire staff of WZHP Radio Innsmouth are fictitious characters, and it's probably for the best that you continue to believe that.